Ted Kennedy. Closed caption TV is a new weapon in the war on illiteracy. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, an innovative idea nearing passage by Congress, offers real promise for teaching children to read. The idea is to require television sets to make closed captions available. Press a button on your remote, and words run along the bottom of the screen. The primary purpose is to make TV more accessible to the deaf and the hearing impaired. But education leaders are increasingly citing its potential for teaching children to read. The stumbling block is the current captioning system, which requires a separate decoding box attached to the TV. The gadget's cumbersome and costly and not widely used. What could be simpler than building the captions into the TV? The cost is minimal, $5 or $10, perhaps even less in mass production. When children across America are watching The Simpsons on TV, they'll be learning to read too.
Those TV Simpsons ain't no relation to mine, Ted. But providing closed caption TV to the hearing impaired has been a great idea for years. In fact, it was so good the television broadcasters did it all on their own. I know this will come as a true shock to your system, but this great notion was accomplished all without the help of Congress. So how strange that you now say the Fed should step in and require all manufacturers to sell TV sets with built-in caption decoders. Consumers have to be the ones to choose what they want to buy in the marketplace. You say it only costs $5 or $10. We've heard that stuff before. Did the guy who told you that sell you one of those fake Rolexes on 58th Street in New York? Is Congress no longer going to allow imported TVs from Japan if they don't have the Kennedy box on them? Good luck, since that's where they're all made. Ted, closed caption stuff is great, but it doesn't take much sense to know that the federal government should really stay out of this one. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a Supreme Court decision to let convicts declare bankruptcy to avoid paying fines. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Instead of cracking down on criminals, the Supreme Court has decided they can file for bankruptcy and get out of their fines. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, criminals used to pay their debt to society, but now the Supreme Court has ruled they can declare bankruptcy instead. In a 7-2 decision, the High Court said that any criminal can avoid making good on penalties or fines by simply declaring Chapter 13 bankruptcy. What a deal. Obviously for them, but not for the taxpayers or the good people who deserve restitution. What do the law-abiding ones do when creditors come whacking on their door? Ted, whatever happened to someone taking responsibility for their own actions and then taking their lumps? I think the court's decision undermines sentencing guidelines, too. Why wouldn't crooks come to the conclusion that if crime doesn't pay, they can always declare bankruptcy? But sad. You'll probably think it's a good idea, though, eh, Ted?
Al, you're behind the curve again. Congress is already moving to tighten that quirk in the bankruptcy laws. The Senate recently approved a reform to prevent saving and loan crooks and drunk drivers from taking advantage of this loophole in the law. They'll no longer be able to plead bankruptcy and avoid paying their fines, returning their ill-gotten gains, and making restitution in other ways to victims of their crimes. The loophole resulted from the complexity of the bankruptcy laws. One key provision clearly prohibited such devious tactics by criminals, but another section didn't. A clever crook spotted the loophole and took advantage of it, but now Congress has blown the whistle. Your heart's in the right place today, Al. I wish you'd be as quick to blow the whistle when renegade corporations like Texas Air abuse the bankruptcy laws to destroy the rights of workers. If you're consistent, Al, you'll close that anti-worker loophole, too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the nation's worsening health care crisis. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Countering Iraq's threat to the Middle East may well require a long-term commitment by the United States and the world community. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, like it or not, the situation in the Middle East is settling in for a long-haul test of our ability to resist aggression and safeguard the world's oil supply. I support the steps that President Bush has taken. He's worked skillfully with other nations to isolate Iraq and apply maximum diplomatic and economic pressure against Saddam Hussein. The participation of U.S. military forces, along with other nations, in the defense of Saudi Arabia is clearly justified as part of the international effort needed to defeat Iraqi aggression. In fact, the president's quick action at the beginning of August may well have made the difference in stopping Iraq from invading Saudi Arabia and seizing the Saudi oil fields. All civilized nations reject Saddam's aggression, Al. As we learned in the 1930s, appeasing aggressors never works.
A big hoorah for you too, Ted. You're absolutely right about George Bush deserving a lot of credit for acting swiftly and with a clear, decisive sense of purpose. And at a time when thousands of American lives are being deployed in the Middle East to defend against Saddam Hussein's aggression, I do appreciate that even the liberal Democrats are lining up to support this president. Had Hussein been able to invade Saudi Arabia, the oil reserves there, along with those in Iraq and Kuwait, would have put a majority of the world's oil supply in the hands of a brutal dictator. Think for just a moment what that could do to countries like our big business partner Japan, which relies on supplies from the Middle East for 90% of its energy. This is a time for all Americans to stand strong behind our president, fully unite against the threat that Saddam Hussein poses to all society, not just to the Middle East, but to the world. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to get budget deficit negotiations back on the track. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Time has almost run out on the budget summit negotiations before the harsh mandatory cuts will fall. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, President Bush showed his honest good faith at the start of budget talks this spring. He took bold political courage to put everything on the table, even the tax revenue increase. He did that to guarantee bipartisan unity as we searched desperately for a solution. So what happened, pal? The Republicans make a good faith effort to slash $54 billion out of a bloated deficit. Your Democrat buddies were supposed to put their proposal on the table, too, but decided to do just what they've done for decades, nothing. Ted, the Democrats sacrificed a fine chance to make some real headway on the budget for a crude attempt to embarrass the president. The American people see the Democrats' inability to balance the budget as being the very real reason they should not be allowed to control both houses of Congress. Come on, Ted. Let's hear your Bush-bashing bleat now.
Al, I thought I heard an echo, but it's just old party line Simpson reading from the White House script. When President Bush called time out from the Middle East crisis to bash the Democrats on the budget, what came through loud and clear was his reluctant leadership on the economy and his surprising decision to indulge in petty domestic politics in the midst of a major foreign policy crisis. On the economy, Congress isn't the president, Al. George Bush is. That's what he was elected for, to make the tough decisions, to provide the leadership and the vision the country needs to keep the economy on an even keel. President Bush didn't hesitate to step up to the plate and do what he thought was right on the Middle East, and the country respected him for that. But for some reason, he's afraid to leave the dugout on the economy, and that's a mistake for any president. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on his strange vote in favor of Iraq. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. As the Iraqi crisis was about to flare up in the Middle East, Senator Al Simpson zigged when he should have zagged. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, you have a little explaining to do about your past position on Iraq. In the tense days leading up to the invasion of Kuwait, you voted in the Senate to water down a proposal for tough economic sanctions against Iraq. Less than a week before the invasion, Al, Iraq had massed 30,000 troops on the border with Kuwait. We all knew Saddam's brutal record of atrocities. The Senate tried to deter him by speaking with one voice and enacting tough economic sanctions. But you joined 38 senators who voted to undermine the sanctions by carving a gaping loophole to let some U.S. exports keep flowing to Iraq. That sent exactly the wrong signal to the Iraqi dictator. Saddam was counting on the West to be too divided to resist his aggression, and you played right into his hands, Al.
That's a phony one, Ted. A low punch, and you know it. On July 27th, I voted in favor of tough sanctions against Iraq. It was an amendment to the Farm Bill, and it restricted Hussein's use of $500 million worth of credit from the CCC. The sanctions I voted for also prohibited his glomming onto the Export-Import Insurance Fund, which he used to the tune of $200 million last year. Those Republican-sponsored sanctions also cut off all military aid and high-tech sales to Iraq a full week before Hussein gobbled up Kuwait. I also voted, when you buckled at the knees, Ted, to require the administration to study the impact of these sanctions on the U.S. ag economy. Nothing wrong with that. In your rush to prove your macho patriotism, you again let your passion for partisanship overpower your judgment. Congress should never pass up a chance to review the consequences of our actions. And now we're deep in the fray and playing for real stakes. I hope you can keep a cooler head. Bush ever do anything right? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
is Ted Kennedy. People are paying more for health care but getting less value for their dollar. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a survey of 10 industrial nations show that the U.S. health care system has the lowest public support of any nation studied. Only 10% of Americans say the health care system is working well and needs only minor repairs, compared to 41% in France and Germany and 56% in Canada. We all know the problems. 32 million Americans have no health insurance. 60 million more have coverage that would be inadequate if a serious illness hits. Millions of senior citizens need long-term care. They're desperately struggling to survive in their own homes or in their children's homes without the help they need. No other industrial nation in the world, except South Africa, tolerates a health care system that works so badly. This is one issue, Al, where even old Sawbone Simpson can't keep saying no to reasonable reforms.
Well, America will be bare bones with your plans. Ted, not a day goes by that we don't read about the high cost of health insurance, the uninsured elderly, or someone gone bankrupt over a doctor's charge. But the countries you named have centralized health systems funded by their governments, costing their taxpayer citizens a ton. Americans don't want or trust the federal government to handle every aspect of health care. Maybe they're spooked it will turn out like Amtrak or the SNL mess. The U.S. has one of the lowest levels of taxation worldwide, 30% lower than Sweden. Yet only a handful of Americans seem willing to pay an extra $50 a year in new taxes for better health care. For once, listen closely to the people, Ted. National health insurance is supported in principle, but not in any fiscal reality. Did you forget what happened when we tried to expand Medicare with the Catastrophic Act? A year later, you liberals caved in and repealed it all. A real mistake, you'll find. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Another new report shows that young people could care less about the news than any generation in the last 50 years. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, TV, radio, newspapers have never been more aggressive and more responsive with getting the news and information out to the public. But a new study by the respected LA Times Mirror discloses that Americans, especially our young people, are simply tuning out the daily events that really do shape our world. Only 30% of America's young adults even read a newspaper on a daily basis. And don't think the troops are paying more attention to the TV news, because the study also shows Americans are even less interested in getting information from the electronic media than they were in the 60s. Ted, all studies should be taken with a grain of salt. But I think any report that tells us that young people know less, care less, and read newspapers less than any generation in the past 5 decades should receive close attention. That is real cause for alarm. What say you?
Al, you sound like a narrow-minded old-timer yearning for the good old days and debunking the younger generation. Those numbers are a concern, but it's unfair to indict a whole generation with a single study. If there's a decline in involvement and commitment of young persons, it's probably bottomed out. That survey came at the end of the me decade of the 1980s. The 90s are starting out better. Young persons are idealistic. They take offense at being labeled as preoccupied with selfishness and greed. When President Kennedy urged young Americans of all ages to ask what they could do for their country, they responded by the millions. That was the spirit of the new frontier, Al. It was also the spirit of the old frontier, and it'll be the spirit of the next frontier. The study you cite missed the point. Young people are willing to become involved. All we have to do is ask. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Senator Al Simpson. In a blatant and ugly case of racism in reverse, Actors' Equity has attacked the right of free speech of a British playwright. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the British hit Miss Saigon was almost kept from coming to Broadway because its producer wouldn't bow to the Actors' Union demand that the role of a Eurasian character be played by one of Asian descent. The union said that letting the British actor play the role of one half French and half Vietnamese would be a racial slur against America's Asian community. What's next, Ted? Blacks now be denied freedom to perform Shakespeare, like Morgan Freeman now in Central Park? Japanese be told they can't produce Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman if the roles aren't played by Americans? You've been boiling along on high heat now for months about your civil rights legislation that's based on absurd quotas. Tell us, Ted, that this stupid reverse racism against Miss Saigon isn't just exactly where your liberal bias will lead this country.
Al, that's hogwash.
The Civil Rights Act isn't based on quotas, and even Archie Bunker Simpson knows it. You're fronting for businesses scheming to sink the bill because they don't like government telling them to stop discriminating against women and minorities. Why do I feel strongly about this issue? Because for decades, Boston and other cities were plagued by signs that said, NINA, no Irish need apply. Across America today, from the highest executive suites to the lowest menial jobs, there are signs that say, no women need apply, no blacks need apply, no Hispanics need apply. If we want to make America, America, it's time those signs came down. But ending discrimination against some groups, Al, is not a license to start discriminating against other groups. Act as Equity in New York was wrong to ban a British actor from playing a Eurasian role in Miss Saigon, and they were right to change their mind. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next with a Labor Day message. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's Labor Day for the country, but it's anti-Labor Day for Senator Al Simpson. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, as far as you're concerned, Labor Day is just another anti-labor, big business as usual day. You and the administration turn thumbs down whenever rights of workers are at stake. You say no to increasing the minimum wage for the working poor, no to family leave to give workers unpaid time off from the job when a new baby is born or a family member is seriously ill, no to Hatch Act reform to let federal workers participate fairly like other citizens in elections. You say no to health insurance for the uninsured, no to civil rights to end race and sex discrimination on the job, no to child care for working parents, no to strengthening workplace health and safety. With that record, Al, you better stay indoors while the Labor Day parade goes by, or a well-aimed tomato might be heading your way.
Any tomato would slide right off my bald dome, Ted, save the tomato and the words. It truly dazzles me that someone who's never had to meet a payroll a day in his life thinks he can speak for the working men and women of America on Labor Day. What hypocrisy. It may come as a shocking surprise to you, Ted, but most people in this country work because they need that weekly paycheck. They need their taxes kept low, and the federal government can tell them how to live. And the last thing they need is a Kennedy welfare state that sucks their employer dry and kills off growth and incentive. Ted, the nation has crafted the greatest society known to man. We've done it because Americans are free to choose who they want to work for and the kind of work they want to do. That's the legacy of Labor Day. There are no jobs without employers. You'd put every one of them out of business. Let's make certain that anything we do in Congress doesn't threaten the rights of both labor and management. Unheard of, eh, Ted? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on environmentalists who stall environmental progress. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Are the super environmentalists their own worst enemy when it comes to making environmental progress? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, it's been 13 years since the country had a new Clean Air Act. We've watched for years as the zealous environmental groups load up the good legislative proposals with unreasonable regulations, resulting in ultimate defeat of a good bill and then make no progress. The problem with their all-or-nothing approach is that we've been forced to live with nothing. Now, rule or ruin environmentalists want to gum up a geothermal project in Hawaii. Instead of supporting this project to tap volcanic heat for electricity, the super enviros are protesting the use of 120 acres in a 20,000-acre forest. They don't care a whip that this project could replace millions of barrels of oil that now must be shipped in over some of the most delicate coral reefs. Ted, America demands environmental progress, but radical environmentalism threatens even making the smallest changes. What about you, Ted? Are you an eco-ecologist, too?
There you go again, Al. All business as usual. Anti-environment Simpson is beating up on the environment again. You're the best friend the polluters ever had. Strong clean air legislation has been stalled for a decade by those arguments. You say business can't afford to burn clean fuel, even though many firms already do. You say the auto industry can't afford to make fuel-efficient cars, even though Japan and Europe already do. The U.S. will, too, if the Middle East crisis keeps driving up the price of oil. Don't get steamed up about the geothermal energy controversy in Hawaii. The project has real potential for providing a substitute for oil, but environmentalists raise legitimate concerns about its threat to the priceless Hawaiian rainforest and about the safety of putting a power plant beside an active volcano. A final plan and environmental impact statement are due in 1992, Al. Stay tuned and keep an open mind. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on President Bush's threat to veto the Civil Rights Act. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The White House is threatening another misguided veto. This time, it's the Civil Rights Act of 1990. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush's unwise advisors are steering him into another unnecessary shootout with Congress in their misguided attempt to water down the laws against job discrimination. We can't wave a magic wand and end discrimination in the workplace, but we can pass strong anti-bias laws that give victims of job discrimination a remedy for the damages they suffer. That's not a bonanza for lawyers, as the president's advisors claim. It's long overdue protection for women and minorities. The White House is also wrong to pretend that strong civil rights laws mean quotas. All we're doing is restoring anti-bias laws in effect for 18 years before the Supreme Court weakened them in 1989. I'm not for quotas, Al, but I am for ending race discrimination and sex discrimination on the job. You should be too, Al, and so should President Bush.
Ted, if you really are opposed to quotas, you surely should have written your bill differently. But that would have taken real candor and imagination, something your bill and worn-out logic sorely lacks. The President and I are both for civil rights, Ted, but your bill legalizes discrimination in favor of certain groups, and that's just not civil rights. As long as we support discrimination of any kind, including quotas, equal opportunity simply cannot exist. You always sing the same old tune, but the truth is you've laid a real egg with your bill, and now the President is going to scramble it up and slap it right back on your plate. The bill you want to cram down America's throat is in every sense a bonanza for lawyers. The real problem is you ain't Ben Cartwright, and this ain't the Ponderosa. So come down off your old high hoss and work with us to get a bill that honestly guarantees civil liberties instead of one that mocks them with racist ramblings. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a plan to give college grads who didn't major in education a chance to teach. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. America's top grads who so much want to teach but didn't major in education now have their chance. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, when there are just not enough teachers to go around, those students, usually in the inner city or the rural areas, suffer the consequences. Big classes often equal little person-to-person education. What we need are teachers who want and love to teach. Now there's a fine plan to do just that. Teach for America takes some top college grads who did not major in education and trains them up to be teachers. This summer, 500 bright and educated young men and women will finish a training institute at USC. And after that, they'll move on into the classrooms and go right to work to relieve quality teachers who have been too long absent. Ted, we should tip our hats to these new teachers, but those teachers' unions who always pull your chain will probably pull the old chapeau right down over your ears.
Al, that idea caught my eye, too. It's a private sector Peace Corps for education. It holds real promise of easing the worsening teacher shortage by encouraging college students to pursue careers in teaching. A student named Wendy Kopp thought up the concept a year ago for her senior thesis at Princeton University. She deserves credit not only for initiating the idea, but for making it fly so quickly. Since you like it, Al, how about shedding your right-wing bias and supporting something similar in the public sector, a national teacher corps? The idea is to offer college scholarships to students who agree to teach for 5 years after graduation. We need more teachers, Al, and these teacher corps programs may be the most effective answer. Whatever else we do to reform the current failing education system, we won't succeed in raising the quality of schools unless we start attracting talented young men and women into teaching. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. The Cold War is over, and Star Wars should be scaled back. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, in the past decade, Congress has written billions of dollars into blank checks to the Pentagon for Star Wars. With the Cold War ended, it's time to cut back on that gold-plated weapon system before it bankrupts the Treasury. Star Wars is a relic of the Pentagon days of Weinberger and Roses. When the Soviet Union was an evil empire, the Berlin Wall was up, and the Pentagon had an open faucet at the Treasury. Instead of massive, impractical anti-missile system in space that you and the Pentagon want, the Senate has called for a more realistic ground-based system to defend against missiles that might someday be launched by terrorist nations like Iraq. Get your priorities straight, Al. Instead of wasting billions of dollars on the old Reagan scheme, let's scale back Star Wars and invest the savings in star schools.
Ted, if madman Saddam Hussein ever got his mitts on ICBMs tipped with nuclear warheads, something he's been lusting to do for years, do you really want to see America vulnerable to attack, with no defense at all? Ted, you're so partisan, our nation suffers. We do need SDI to defend against these ballistic missiles that can be launched from third world nations, not just the Soviet Union. And Windex, squirted all over your crystal ball, can't help to predict that Gorbachev will remain in power. So please tell me what happens if the Soviets decide to put another Stalin in charge. America has to be ready to defend against all future threats. We spend less than 2% of the Pentagon budget on SDI each year. If the time ever comes, heaven forbid, that we need SDI, there won't be enough time to build it. That time is right now when we have the chance and time to plan for the future. Ted, all of us are sorry you just can't see that, even with so many millions of American lives at stake. Sad. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on criminals who sue their victims for millions of dollars. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. If you get mugged or roughed up, be careful how you defend yourself. If you aren't kind about it, your attacker just might sue you. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, it isn't enough of a horror to know that innocent people who may be attacked can suffer uncertain harm to themselves and their property. Now they must also face the added absurd threat of being sued if they use too much force trying to defend themselves. For example, the California bank robber who stuffed the stolen money down in his pants. When a smoke bomb planted in the stack of bills caught the robber's drawers on fire, he burned his buns and then sued the bank he was robbing for damages. And what about the bum who shot and killed a young man in a West Virginia bar? Because his murder victim happened to be under the legal drinking age, the killer decided he has the right to sue the owner of the bar where the crime was committed for $5 million. Of course, we're pretty sure you'll always simply stick up for the rights of all the criminals over the rights of all the victims of violent crime.
Come on, Al. That's what we have a legal system for, to weed out quirky cases like those and see that every citizen gets his day in court. Anybody can file a lawsuit, Al, even a crook. But winning the suit is another question. It's rare for a criminal to bring a case against a victim, and even rarer for a judge or jury to give the case the time of day. Occasionally, situations do come up when law enforcement officers resort to excessive force or private citizens go too far in self-defense. A policeman who apprehends a criminal can't execute him on the spot. An automobile owner with a handgun in the glove compartment has no right to blast away at a driver who cuts him off. These are basic rules that any civilized society has to learn to live by, Al. It's the difference between the rule of law and the law of the jungle. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the suitor nomination to the Supreme Court. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Senate begins hearings this week on the nomination of Judge Souter to the Supreme Court. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Senate Judiciary Committee hearings begin this week on President Bush's nomination of Judge Souter to the Supreme Court. You and I serve on the committee, so we'll each get to question Judge Souter, and we have plenty of questions to ask. From all reports, President Bush intentionally picked a mystery nominee with no paper trail. Judge Souter has said little or nothing about the major legal and constitutional issues of our time. The less we know, the more we have to find out. Join me, Al, in resisting the attempt by Attorney General Thornburg and the administration to put some questions off limits and muzzle the hearings. We need to find out what Judge Souter thinks about the right to privacy and other basic liberties. You don't really want to confirm a blank slate to the Supreme Court, do you, Al?
Ted, you still remember your vicious and hysterical attack on Bork. Souter next, eh, pal? There's no blank slate with Judge Souter. There are dozens of decisions he made while presiding as both a federal judge and a member of the New Hampshire Supreme Court. They're all right there for the whole world to review and study. Your problem is in finding something wrong with this able conservative, and it's driving you goofy. Poor old Ted. Instead of running your fingernails down that blank slate chalkboard in utter frustration, maybe you ought to stop playing coy and own up to the fact that Judge Souter is one excellent pick for the high court. And if he really is such a mystery man, why would the New York Times have written a story back in 87 speculating that Ronald Reagan would pick Souter if Bork was shot down? That was 3 years ago, before George Bush became president. So pretend and grumble all you want to, Ted, but Judge Souter earned his fine reputation as a legal scholar years ago and has been building it most impressively ever since. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Congress's expensive and senseless practice of passing commemorative laws. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Each Congress, more than $1 million is spent passing laws to declare this National Moon Week or National Tufted Titmouse Month. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, in this last Congress, almost a third of all the laws which we passed dealt with commemorative acts that are often rather harmless in nature until one realizes the added cost and time and money it takes to get one through Congress. Over $1,200,000 spent on commemoratives during the last Congress. Ted, even a great glut spender like you might agree that Congress should pass one big lump commemorative honoring the nation's taxpayers and dump this senseless and costly stuff out the window. Simple solution, a new board to establish commemoratives, perhaps. Instead of passing nice-sounding but often meaningless pieces of legislation, the Democrat-controlled Congress should be focusing on ways to reduce the deficit, protect the environment, or ensure a better education for our children.
Al, the worm has turned. You're a prolific supporter of commemorative resolutions. You've signed on to over 100 in this Congress, including one passed a few weeks ago, designating July 10th as Wyoming Centennial Day to honor the 100th anniversary of Wyoming's admission to the Union. As usual, Al, the remedy you're proposing is worse than the problem. In recent years, both the Senate and House have adopted guidelines to ensure that commemorative resolutions have broad bipartisan support and aren't misused for commercial or partisan purposes. Before you throw out the baby with the bathwater, Al, take a closer look at the good these resolutions accomplish. Often they're used by state and local governments and private charities to highlight their worthwhile activities and achievements. For example, when Congress designated July 2nd as National Literacy Day, organizations across the country coordinated their activities in one new support. Read my lips, Al. You can't say no to that. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the drug war and the Bill of Rights. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A war on drugs is fine, but not if it's a war on the Constitution, too. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, pressure for progress in the war on drugs is encouraging federal officials to cut constitutional corners. That's wrong. Recently, the Department of Housing and Urban Development began seizing public housing where drug dealing has allegedly occurred. Nothing wrong with that, you say? Yes, there is. The plan involved eviction without notice or an opportunity to be heard. A federal court in Virginia ruled the evictions were flatly unconstitutional, but the administration said evictions would go forward in other states, as if the Constitution means less in New York or California than it does in Virginia. Fortunately, the administration backed down from its untenable position. Lawful procedures are now being followed, but the lesson is clear. The Constitution can accommodate the legitimate needs of law enforcement, Al. It's irresponsible for the administration to make an end run around the Bill of Rights.
There's your eternal theme, Ted. Criminals first, victims second. 3 million families living in public housing nationwide. Surely they deserve the right to raise their kids in a drug-free environment. Otherwise, these children will be continually exposed to drugs and never be able to escape the wretched cycle of poverty, addiction, and crime. Ted, the administration has taken great pains not to let innocent people suffer when they go after these bums. You fail to mention that before any drug dealer gets the boot, a federal magistrate must first rule that compelling evidence exists. This has to also be supported by sworn evidence from a search warrant or a police undercover operation. One other small something else. You voted for the Omnibus Drug Initiative of 88 that set up this program. Stop sacrificing the rights of innocent kids just to stick with your jaded lifetime philosophy of always coddling criminals. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on cutting tax breaks for private clubs that discriminate against minorities and women. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should the private clubs that discriminate against minorities or women be subsidized by the taxpayer? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, our tax code clearly bars a private club from enjoying a tax-exempt status if it discriminates against new members on the basis of race or religion, but that sure hasn't stopped the clubs which never accepted minority members from still obtaining their nonprofit status. Ted, why should the taxpayer subsidize a private club's discriminatory practice? And then, Ted, why should members of clubs, nonprofit or not, be allowed to write off dinners and entertainment if that club discriminates? Step into the 90s, Ted. You were all for bashing federal judges over the head to resign from these kinds of clubs. We had to drag you in kicking and screaming to include senators in the resolution, one that doesn't even have the full force of law. Come on, Ted. We need laws here, not just resolutions and posturing. Whatever standard we expect from others, we should also expect from ourselves.
Al, all public officials and private citizens should be asking themselves whether the clubs they belong to are practicing unfair discrimination in their membership. The uproar over this year's PGA golf tournament focused on the racial exclusion policy of the Shoal Creek Country Club in Birmingham, Alabama. To its credit, the PGA scored a hole-in-one itself by moving quickly to insist that clubs hosting future tournaments must be free of discrimination. But the controversy also turned the spotlight on thousands of other private clubs across the country. Many of them engage in subtle and not so subtle practices that exclude women and minorities and deny them equal opportunities in the community. In this day and age, that sort of discrimination is unacceptable. We've come a long way since the Reagan administration defended tax exemptions for segregated schools. They don't deserve a tax break, Al, and neither do segregated clubs or any other clubs that practice discrimination. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.